Hi, I'm Sharad Kutan, and welcome to Let's Talk, the show that brings you the most important conversations in art, culture, and ideas. I'm here at the Tinta Budi Bookstore at the Cheongsan Building in Kampung Atap, Kuala Lumpur, a place filled, as you can tell, with books and magazines. In fact, we're going to be talking about a very special journal that's been around for a little bit of time, but it's also making waves because of the quality of the writing and perhaps a model for sustainability, and that's something we're going to be talking about later. But at first, I'm going to talk to the founder and manager of the Tinta Budi Bookstore. He's also a founder, a member of the Swara Journal. Nazir Harith Fadzila, welcome to my show. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the context of the bookstore. Cheongsan Building is a kind of refurbished building and it has all these little spaces. Why did you decide that you wanted to set up a bookstore here? I mean, you and your collaborators.
We first started in Ipoh, actually, in 2016. And then I was invited by a friend who also is co-partner in Tinta Budi Bookshop. So at that particular time, we are thinking of moving to KL, but we don't find any suitable places. First, because of the rental situation, which is expensive, and for a bookshop, it's hard to maintain that kind of cost. So when they approach us and then they told about the Zhongshan Building and they told about everything, and we just decided, yeah, let's pack our bags and move to KL.
Yeah, and this is very interesting because there's a question of the reading public, mm-hmm. the size of the reading public, and then two, the public's willing to spend money on books. And I'm, intrigued by the Ipoh origins of the bookstore. Mm-hmm. I mean, is there much of a public in Ipoh and larger Perak mm-hmm. for books of this sort? Because they're, first of all, they're extraordinarily highbrow books, and they must be reasonably expensive compared to other books. So was there a buying public in Ipoh?
In Ipoh, they actually have a couple of like used books, a bookshop, like Noble Heart and whatnot. In 2016, when we first started, we get most of our buying from online. And when we look at all the addresses, most are in Kuala Lumpur and Selangor. It's hard for us to get like people who came to the shop and buy from the shop. So then we toy with the idea of like maybe the market is not here at the moment, and we have to keep on selling to sustain ourselves. So why not like try to find some place in KL? At least we can cater to that particular group of people, which is our customer also.
Right, yeah. And has that proven to be the right decision coming here?
Yes, we have a lot more people coming to the shop. We have reached a lot more people because it's when you're selling online, it's hard for you to reach out to more people, although you think that you have an access to a whole lot of people, but actually it's harder for you to reach out to them. So for us, it's much more efficient in the sense of brick and mortar because we talk to people also suggesting to their friends who come to the shop. This sort of stuff. And Zhongshan Building also house many different people who have different audience. So there is a mix of audience that comes to the shops also.
Yeah, and I think there's something about the experience of browsing that people who love books, mm-hmm. Really enjoy. The part of the experience is not just, buying the book. I know you guys are on like Instagram, for mm-hmm. instance, right? And you can buy books there. But, when I last bought a mm-hmm. book from you guys, I had the option going online. I decided, no, I'm going to come to the bookstore and have a look at the book as well. And I think the feel is so much part of the experience. Could you help us understand the relationship between Tinta Budi and the journal Swara? What is it? Was it an organic one? Did you feel that you needed a vehicle, your own material coming out? How did you think through the idea of Swara?
Tinta Budi, I've been toying with the idea of publishing for quite a while because meeting with a lot of people who are in publishing industry, and I see that is a room for a certain kind of writing to be out there. Tinta Budi started publishing in 2019, so that one we basically translated Malay poetry, Hafiz Hamzah poetry, into English that we launched in Georgetown Literary Festival. And then meeting with Hafiz and also meeting with Badrul, who are who all of us are now in Suara Journal. We start up Suara Journal. So we talk with a lot of people. We need something, we need a periodical in Bahasa Melayu that talks about this thing seriously and with the right writing manner. Let's just put it that way.
Was there a precursor? Were you modeling yourself in older journals that, because this is long form, it's also very pictures heavy, and the design elements, you know, I don't recognize it as being something that has a precursor, but maybe I missed it. I mean, is there something in the past that this was also modeling itself on?
I think when we first started the periodical, we realized that we have a whole history of Malaysian periodicals that is available and that is sold throughout the years. We have the Mastika during the 60s and 50s. We have a Masa, which is recently. We have Siasa, 90s, 2000. And we have Dewan, Majalah Dewan Masyarakat, which is in their heyday in 1970s and 80s, which provide a lot of like good content materials with a good look of the physical magazine. So bearing all those publications in mind, so we feel that nowadays we don't see that anywhere in the bookshop or in any newsstands. All focus more on celebrity or focus more on entertainment per se. And there is a couple of like good magazine also by Dewan, but their look is not as engaging with the new audiences. So we think that is a high time for us to, let's just do it. At least if we fail, we did this to prove that this works.
Well, I hope you don't fail, because I think it, there is something to be said about the aesthetics of the journal, right? It's and it does appeal. The question, of course, is that does it appeal to enough people? Will it, you know, invite them to put down the 25 ringgit? I think that's that it costs, and which is like a latte and a half, isn't it? I mean, when you think about it, people spend ridiculous amounts of money on all kinds of things, avocado toast. Why not a journal, right, which they can come back to again and again? Lastly, I mean, to what extent has the journal helped also popularize the bookstore and vice versa? And which, how does it work?
Basically, when we sell the journal, we sell through online from directly from Journal Suara, and then Interbudi is also one of the distributors of the magazine. So people come to the shop and so buy the journal magazine, and we also sell it to a couple of like personal seller, because they buy, because it's harder for us to approach a business entity, a bookshop or a newsstand, because of the terms, the purchasing term. So we can't afford to have such a long time for them to reimburse whatever magazine that they take lah. So we realize that, and we need money fast at least to roll it for the next issue. So that is one of our main concerns. And most of our journal are being sold by private sellers, which is good because they engage more with the readership instead of like you put in the shop and then if someone come and buy, someone come and buy lah. But if someone don't come, and it's harder for you to move it. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Wonderful. Thank you so much for speaking to me. I'm going to be speaking next to Badrul Hisham Ismail. He's the content editor for Suara Magazine and also one of the founder members. We're here at the Tintabudi Bookstore in Kampung Atap in the Chongsan building. Stay tuned to Let's Talk.